You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Welcome to Axe to Grind, the hardcore podcast. I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
I'm Tom.
Joining us today,
I'm Dave.
What up, Dave?
How's it going, Pat?
You know, pretty good, but you are going to be doing a lot of the heavy lifting for me this episode. I've got a bit of a stomach thing. I'm laying on the floor as I record this. You might be the ringer.
I mean, I've seen you, Patrick. If I were going to pick heavy lifting, I would pick me.
True.
These muscles are small but dense.
Pat, what did you eat? What did you eat? Like, because the last time you were like, I ate this. It was like 3 weeks old, but it's vegan, so it's fine.
So I started eating bread again for the first time in like a month and a half. And now I legitimately, I know this sounds crazy, I fall asleep thinking about vegan BLTs.
I mean, there's worse things to fall asleep thinking of.
That's true. I mean, think about if I came from like Kosovo in the 90s. I'm sure there's a lot of things that you can put your head on a pillow going, oh, yeah, my life sucks. And vegan BLTs is not one of them. So every night I just go, damn, I want that vegan BLT. And then when I get them, I got an excessive character. So I eat like five of them and then I get like real sick. And that's where I'm at now.
So is that 10 pieces of bread?
Yeah, it's a lot of bread.
At one sitting?
So what are you doing for your bacon? What are you doing for your bread? Are you using my killer bread?
No, I'm using the Sprouts, whatever's on sale at Sprouts. And then this is going to be a terribly interesting segment for the listeners.
I can't wait to see how this ends.
Patrick's bread addiction. Put it in the show notes right now.
Yeah. What is the vegan bacon that's decent?
You want to go Upton's?
No, it's not Upton's.
Benevolent bacon.
Benevolent bacon's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
The Field Roast people, whatever their company is, they make a good one too.
You guys keep shooting this around. I'm going to take an actual look. Hold on.
I mean, I'm going to run out of bacon's pretty quick.
So I will say, Tom, I stayed at the Comfort Inn in Los Angeles, aka the worst possible apartment. With Eric and Patrick. Very nice apartment. They keep a nice house. Patrick has gotten his gains up. Looks like a healthy human.
Okay.
It's all the benevolent bacon. I just checked.
Benevolent bacon is dope.
There you go.
Very good.
So something must be working, though if we're talking heavy lifting, I still would go to Dave. So, but Patrick is in fine form. I appreciated the place to sleep and enjoy the Hollywood lifestyle.
Did he make you watch Strife videos before you got to go to bed like it was a tour?
No.
Here's like some cold pasta and a Strife video.
No, we ate sushi. My 7-year-old son went to sleep. Then we talked like slumber party style for a while, and then it abruptly ended. And we all just went to sleep. It was
good. Yo, Bob.
Yeah.
My girl said, I said, Bob's coming with his kid. And she goes, how old's his kid? And I said, I don't know, like four, three Jeez. Maybe. and then I took a photo of the two of you and your son.
Yeah.
And I sent it to my girl because your son's like a pretty adorable looking kid. Adorable and like boy, the two of you look look very similar.
Yeah, so
the two,
sure.
Because you're adorable.
And then the
two of you sitting on a couch. You know, I sent her the photo and she just responds, that child is not three or four.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of a tell on your part of your lack of familiarity, but you did You did. Easton did like you. He remembered the name of your comic book today, so that was good.
That's good.
I mean, Pat. Last time you guys interacted, Pat was in a different place, and it was. I think Easton was like, "I don't know about this guy."
Pat, so, you do realize you guys are friends now. We've been doing the podcast for like coming up on what is this? 4 years or 3 years?
It's gotta be three. Four,
no, it's December 2017.
So right, so it's coming up on four. You interacted with him like probably 3 years ago, and you had a conversation with him. Like we had like adult conversations with.
Yeah, like, but this is an example of me not remembering shit. Because when she asked me how old is he, I go, I go, he can talk and shit. I go, so,
oh my god,
I go, so like three, you can talk, right? She's like, that's yeah, right. You can that's talk right. at three, mm-hmm. and I was like,
he can have like full conversations.
Yeah, he reads books.
That's what I'm saying. It's like I would have guessed seven or eight.
Tom, he read the first Harry Potter book on the road this past week.
That's incredible.
It's pretty good.
What's he doing now?
Doing better than me.
Right now, he is upstairs at Casa de Dave and Amy, and he is watching – what was he going to watch? He's going to watch some Disney movie I hadn't seen
before. Watching The Crow.
Yeah, I told him nothing too adult, and he's like, yeah, I don't want to get scared or bored. So
smart kid.
Yeah.
For a three-year-old, man. What, really? He's got his shit together.
A very advanced three-year-old. Yeah. In second grade.
A 5'2" three-year-old. What a fucking weirdo.
it was a nice time. It was a good snapshot into the Hollywood lifestyle. So Easton definitely got uncomfortable with the very, very real homeless problem in Hollywood. It's wild. So as I tried to talk to him like an adult, he's like, can we stop talking about this? This is uncomfortable. I was like, yes, you're right. Let's talk about that more. He did not want to keep talking about it.
No, we tried to talk to him about it here, and he did not have any solutions either.
No, I know. He's got to work on that.
Typical three-year-old.
So before we get into it, let's do a quick thank you to our sponsors, Closed Casket Activities, Run for Cover Records, and the two we're going to focus on today.
Meow. So you know what? I gotta sit up, right? I'm laying down and I didn't even get my meow off.
All right. Shout outs to our sponsors. Shout out to our sponsors, Closed Casket Activities.
Boom!
Run for Cover Records.
Buck!
And our two focus topics today, Death Wish Inc. and To Live a Lie. Guys, where do we start?
To Live a Lie.
So one of the things that we say to people is a good way to support these sponsors is even if they don't have a new record out that you're particularly curious about or you haven't seen anything, please go to their distros and my favorite button, the new products button in the web store of tolivealie.com. Go to the web store. Click through there. Click that new product button. I'm going to suggest a new one, and then I think Tom is going to take us away. Maybe Dave can chime in too on an old one. I want to shout out the Thought Control Shock to the System 7-inch released by Not for the Week. This is a band, I think, pretty much from South Jersey. It's that line of fast, straight up, early 80s hardcore meets late 80s hardcore energy. It's great. I don't know that it's really easy to get anywhere, but To Live a Lie has it. So I'm telling you, smash that button, get it in the cart. Let's give them, something new, something old. Tom, what do you think is a little recommendation on the old section?
So this is new old. To Live a Lie's distro has copies of the Antidote Thou Shalt Not Kill record.
Yes.
That Radio Raheem just did.
Yes, it's the LP.
It's a 12-inch reissue
of the classic 7-inch. Yep.
Yes. So it's the 7-inch, the 1982 demos, and then a live set from CB's. And it comes with a 12-inch booklet of just like old pictures and old flyers and shit. It's worth it just for the booklet. Even if you own, that the 7-inch 10 times over, it's worth buying the 12-inch just for like the additional stuff. And just kind of hearing the story and like from this, I found out that Tommy Victor from Prong was in the earliest version of Antidote. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
No, I actually didn't know that either.
Yeah, it's super cool. And, like, yeah, it's all, like the OG guys just kind of telling
like
the story.
Like, giving notes and stuff, too, right?
Yeah, and there's old pictures and stuff that you that you haven't seen before. It's totally, totally worth picking up.
Yeah.
And it's one of the best Horcrux sandwiches ever. I mean, you can't go wrong.
No question. No question.
And honestly, you could pick that up, or you could probably buy 125 of them, mm-hmm. or buy just the 7-inch original.
So that's the value. So you could pay $20 for this or $2,500 for the original 7-inch.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Mm. And you get more stuff. So, I mean, it seems like it's just a value-based.
Yeah, this is just bigger.
It's larger as well.
It is larger. It's just bigger. Shout out to the Antidote 7-inch. It's basically perfect. And
shout out to Radio Raheem.
Yeah, Radio Raheem.
They do such cool shit.
Awesome.
Yeah.
They always put time, energy, and like, I don't think I've seen better reissues in the punk and hardcore world, period.
No, and they have – I mean, if we're just going to talk about Radio Raheem, they also have the United Mutation reissue there. I bought that not only on vinyl, but I also did the old guy purchase on Bandcamp because I just wanted to listen to it on my phone.
Nice.
And, I mean, that's stuff that – I've been a fan of that record I bought a bootleg CD of it in 98.
Yeah.
It was a whole bunch of stuff I hadn't heard before. And they have a – pristine layout,
yeah,
and
you can buy incredible. It
from this great distro.
Yeah, if you have not heard United Mutation, please check this out. Dark Self Image, another one of the Radio Raheem reissues. And if you haven't checked it, To Live a Lie has copies, and not everywhere else does. So
no.
Check it out, toliveali.com. Boom, boom, boom. Next up, Death Wish Inc. Guys, you know who else has a really good distro? Death Wish Inc.
Killer distro.
So go to deathwishinc.com, and you know what I'm going to tell you to check out? I've already shouted out the Convulse Records, Candy Apple, Sweet Dreams of Violence, 12-inch. Like that a lot. They have it. I want to shout out the Razor Blades and Aspirin zine, which they have I believe it's the newest issue, number 12. It's just got a huge feature on Ed Culver, the legendary LA hardcore and punk photographer.
Oh yeah.
I'm pretty sure you see some images in there that you won't see elsewhere. You have a feature by Ola from Quality Control Records, one of my favorite labels from the UK, one of the best labels in the world right now. And a lot more. This is done by Mike Thorne, guy who's been doing zines and photography for a long time. And it's sort of, it's like what can zines grow and evolve into in this new world that we have where publishing isn't just – like, to be honest, this is a glossy 8.5x11 full-color zine that he, soup to nuts, does. And I'm still like, yo, it's cool when a kid makes a bunch of photocopies and staples together. But then you see this, you're like, this is incredible. So – hats off to this. I think it's one of the coolest zines going, and you can get it at the Death Wish Distro right now.
Shout out to zines.
Shout out to zines. And also, let's keep it classic. I want to ask Tom and Patrick. You guys are my resident Converge fan friends.
Sure.
The classic Jane Doe design, which is just the Jane Doe face,
sure,
big on a shirt. Now available, three options. Well, there's four options. I'm going to give you four. One is the premium asphalt t-shirt. So asphalt, like that dark, you know, concert gray, we call it. So it looks like a faded black t-shirt.
Okay.
Then three tank top options. You have the spider black. Oh, that one sold out. You have the black tank top or the white tank top where the image is inverted. Which one are you guys picking individually?
I'm going asphalt. I'm not a tank top guy.
Patrick?
I got these guns. Why not a tank top?
Let's get you in that. I've been liking you with the tie-dye look, but that one's sold out. So maybe we'll have to wait for the re-up. Otherwise, I'm going to get you the black tank top.
Okay.
Pat, do you wear tank tops? Like, I don't know if I've ever seen you wear a tank top.
No, I like a jersey, but it's rare that I do a tank top.
He will wear a tank top, but it's been a while.
Like, I could picture you like playing like shoeless, wearing like olive pants and a tank top like that you found somewhere.
That's not far off.
Yeah.
I straight up, I don't care how I look anymore. Like, in terms of clothes, I could not give a goddamn. Like,
remember when you came home with the fucking the race car driver suit that still smelled
the jumpsuit?
Yeah,
but it still smelled like what he burned in.
It really did.
Yeah, it did. I've got four shirts at this point, and I just whichever one it only smells musty, not musky. I put on. I do not care. I don't know what that's about, but
that's depression. But
I don't think.
Yeah, I'm sure all signs are pointing negatively.
Or apathy. No,
maybe I'm free.
Yo, I think you're free. Deathwishing.com. Go support them.
Spell it out.
Yeah. Yes. Thanks. I only wear the same black T-shirt, Comfort Colors black T-shirt. And as I said to Dave this morning, hey, I'm wearing this shirt. Did I wear the same shirt yesterday or not? And he's like, I don't know, because I am wearing a clean shirt. But you would never know. I just wear the same shirt every single day. How many do I have? I have 24. How many are actually in rotation? 6. I have enough shirts to last me for the next 2 years. It's great.
Incredible.
It's lit.
Yeah. So, guys, how are we doing? How are we feeling today?
Feeling great.
You would just shit your pants 3 minutes ago.
I'm just trying to keep the thing alive here. I'm just trying to keep everybody motivated. I feel like garbage. My stomach feels very heavy. It's full of fake bacon.
Fake bacon. I'm glad you haven't lost your like sardonic New York edge.
No.
Thank you.
No, it's hard. It's hard to when you're crouched in a dark apartment in Hollywood to lose the New Yorker in you.
So. Living on an army cot. Six hots in a cot. That's Pat.
I have been traversing the U.S. and I have thoughts, but I also have not been privy to the hardcore world as much as I would like. I've gotten to listen to some music, so we can talk about that. We have some additional features coming up from Dave here as our guest. But guys, have I missed anything? We haven't really been able. The chat has been quiet for the most part. What have I missed? What's been going on for the past 10 days?
Well, before we even go that far.
Yes.
We missed this conversation. So we usually record on Wednesdays.
Mm.
Right. And we have, you know, we usually are, we're ahead of the game a lot of times. So I had to cancel last minute last Wednesday.
Mm.
Because I had been given an opportunity that we were going to wait to break it to Pat on the air to get his reaction.
Oh, yes. This is big news. So the personal happenings that caused the cancellation last week. Because we are for the people at home, we are probably the most proud of our religiosity to recording. Since we got on a schedule, I don't know that we've actively missed a Wednesday recording. So.
Yeah, I mean, we appreciate everyone listening so much. Like, we don't fuck around. We take this very seriously. It's our job.
Yes.
But so for me to kind of be like, hey, fellas, can you mind if we like do this over the weekend instead? Because I really have this opportunity that I, you know, it would be funny to do. And, you know, everyone was cool about it, thankfully. But we didn't tell Pat why. So the reason why I had to miss recording last week was because I went to go see Weezer.
Oh, you risked your COVID life for the fucking Green album.
Well, here's the funniest part. So it was Weezer Green Day.
Wow. Okay.
What year is the show in?
1994. It was dope.
Okay.
Well, someone was like, when was the last time you saw Green Day? I was like, 1994? And they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I saw them open for like Bad Religion, and then they opened Warped Tour 1 year, and that was the last time I saw them. So our friend Anthony, a listener of the podcast.
Shout out to Anthony.
Old friend of ours, old friend of mine. Was like, hey, do you want to go to this? And I was like, fuck it. All right, I'll go. And then as I text him that I worked it out with the crew that I could take the day, he's like, oh, by the way, it's in a suite.
Woo!
And I was like, dude, I fancy. Will watch Pat do fucking spoken word from a goddamn suite. You know what I'm saying?
Tickets are still available, Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah, Giant Stadium. Let's see.
So I just got to like sit there. You know, the suites are like done. You know, it's like for people, not me. So it's like, oh, you're vegetarian? Well, everything's got meat and fish on it. Oh, you're straight edge? Well, we don't have any. Like, we have like a bottle of water. Like, so, but just to be able to sit there and witness the 39,000 people that showed up for Green Day.
Fuck.
God. 39.
Pandemic broke some brains out here.
Fall Out Boy had to cancel because somebody in their crew had COVID.
Mm. No.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is, I mean, apparently they have you know, you can't leave the bubble. They have like a fucking doctor on the road with them that everyone gets. It's this whole thing. So for that, someone have, you know, test positive. So that's why I had to miss it. Rivers, I don't know if you've seen him recently. He looks like the bass player in the second band playing like the Acheron.
Okay.
Like picture what you think that is. And that's what he looks like. He's got a mullet, cool, a studded leather jacket, and a flying V. Stop.
What?
Wow.
Dude, he looks like you're like, hey, are you going to see the fucking capitalist casualties play Acheron? And then he's like, oh, you know what? My buddy's in the bass player in the opening band. His name is Rivers. That's what he looks like. It's wow. Insane.
I mean, I've never seen Weezer and Capitalist Casualties on the same flyer, so we might be onto something here.
I mean, it's true. This is true. But yeah, I hadn't seen either band in legitimately over 25 years. It was a very rock thing. It was fun. It was an opportunity that I thought would be funny and enjoyable. And I got to hang out with my friends, which is fine. And then I went to see Guns N' Roses the next night, and it was one of the worst concerts I've ever seen in my life.
Wait. You went back to back.
Not once intentionally.
Again, Tom's time machine really getting its workout.
I mean, I like current hardcore.
Yep.
And everything else is old.
And the No Alternative compilation.
Pretty much. Right. But so, we had gotten these tickets. I'm sorry, yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, what were the set lists like for the three bands you've mentioned?
So, most of the Weezer stuff was like, oh, I like these songs. Like, it was like the Blue record.
Okay.
The first record. That's a good record.
Yeah.
So they played a lot of that. They played other crap. They played like the Toto cover, which is horrendous.
Yeah.
They covered a Fall Out Boy song in their absence, which was pretty bad.
Wow.
Green Day played like 30 songs, something like that. Wow. But it was like, you know, I mean, stuff from like the Lookout records, stuff from like the earlier shit, and then others. Like, so like if you're like a super fan, you will not leave like bummed. Cause they play a nice, it's not like, you know, you go see a band, you're like, oh, they don't play anything before the third record. Like they literally play a little bit of everything.
Right.
And was this the Guns N' Roses show at MetLife in East Rutherford?
Yes.
No. Oh,
yes.
It was. Okay.
That's nice. The one I went to with Morgado.
Okay. I'm just looking at the set list via setlist.fm.
That was me. I was there.
You uploaded it?
Yes, I took copious notes. It was kind of sad. It was like super depressing.
You don't say.
You know what I mean? Like I turned to Morgana. I was like, yo, old hardcore singers age better than this motherfucker.
A lot of covers in here, huh?
A lot of covers, a lot of like, hey, we're going to play for like 4 minutes so Axel can walk off stage, change a shirt, maybe get some oxygen.
Oh, no.
Fuck. And like, he sounded like Mr. Hankey.
That's kind of cool. That's kind of
like,
cool.
He doesn't hit anything. Like, apparently he sings to a backing track. That's what it sounds like. Yeah.
You know where you are. You're in the jungle, baby.
That's great.
It was really fucking terrible. Our buddy Thorns was like, hey, I'm going to leave, you know, I can, you know, I'm going back to Queens. You can come with me. I'm like, great. And I'm like, I'm walking out during November rain, whenever the fuck that is. That's what I'm leaving. And I left and I walked out to him.
Knocking on heaven's door, Night Train, Patience, and Paradise City.
I'm cool with it. That's how bad it was. And
have you seen Guns N' Roses before?
Yes.
As when?
Like
are we talking like 87?
No. Was I 11? I wish.
I'm just, you know, I mean, yeah.
I mean, I'm not that
that's
cool.
The prime age.
Metallica. I saw them with Metallica.
Oh, okay.
91, 92. Like,
that's, yeah, I remember
that's
that tour.
Kind of incredible. So
that was when they were like great. This was like horrendous. And I was just like, I need to get out of here.
Yeah. I think you made the right decision.
Damn. Yeah. Morgado stayed for the whole thing. I walked out as they were Axl Rose covered Biz Markie.
Oh no!
Pardon? No, you heard me right. He does I forget which song it is. He does the "You Got What I Need." Yeah, he did "Just a Friend," which was a fitting tribute for a racist guy from Indiana.
allegedly racist.
I mean, I have the lyrics.
A couple poor choices in covers over the years.
It was a different time, Tom.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein, Plus, or, are they going to say it? Yes, vegan and veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. You can get chef prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can go back to doing what you love this spring, maybe gardening. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. That is the type of meal I prefer. They're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. Now, I'd like you to head to factormeals.com/axetogrind50. That's numeral 50. And use code axetogrind50. That's numeral 50. To get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's insane. That's code AXTOGRIND50 at factormeals.com/AXTOGRIND50. That's to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Crazy.
So this has been Guns N' Roses Corner, and everyone can Google Guns N' Roses racist lyrics and find out what we're making light jokes about.
Yeah, and Google Rivers Cuomo in 2021.
Yes.
Google Axl Rose 2021. Google
Rivers Cuomo racist lyrics.
I mean, some of his stuff is kind of like, really, bro?
Oh,
a little cringy.
He's proto-incel.
He's the OG incel. He definitely is.
Yeah. Santa Barbara shooter.
But yo, thank you, Pat, for being so patient and let me go see Weezer.
Just need a little patience. Yeah.
Wish I could take that back.
I was like, we have to wait because Pat's gonna have a full-on meltdown.
Just making weird life changes.
I took your advice and Googled Rivers Cuomo 2021, and I'm really just aghast at what I'm looking at.
Was it correct? Like, do you think could he be opening for the opening band for Obedience one day?
He looks like he still has his Charlie Sheen looking face.
Yeah.
But
he didn't age.
Charlie Sheen, Garth Algar, and current era Anvil.
Yo.
It's a bad look.
It's really bad. Hey.
I mean, they wrote a metal record for this tour, and they called it Van Weezer.
Fuck.
Tom, I want to give you the most credit for enabling a Weezer conversation that's been so long on this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it was, if I had to suffer, you had to suffer,
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what else have I missed, guys? Anything else? Anything else been popping?
Some kid got hit with beer, got beer moshed into his face.
Yeah, that was another Barstool Sports moment.
Okay. Good. Keeping memeing. Good.
Yeah,
deeply, deeply embarrassing. Let's not get heavy on this because there's no way to talk about this without scolding young people.
Yeah.
The Youth of Today conversation that I was so grateful I missed. I could have done a fucking dance.
Bob, are you privy to this?
I am. I actually knew about this before. Patrick scolded me when I was at his apartment. He's like, Bob, how could you have not brought this up to me? I was like, oh, Eric and me talked about it separately. how do we, what can even be said about this?
It was
Google, you dumb motherfuckers, something. Google.
Like how out there do we have to be that Patrick's out here defending Youth of Today?
Yeah, really?
Yeah. It's just, if this was a real, was this real by the way, or am I getting trolled right now?
I think we all got trolled.
I don't know.
Did people sincerely believe this thing?
I feel like it's a very, 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 very small portion.
So
and then it just becomes a thing. And then people go, you guys are ridiculous. How do you believe this? And then those conversations become larger than the original.
Yes, that's true. Yes, that's almost certainly true.
So it's a lesson in sensationalizing. So So for someone who maybe was, you know, locked away for a week or outside of internet range, bless your heart, you missed that there is a Youth of Today show.
Denver?
In Denver, Colorado.
Cadaver Dog.
Looks pretty good. Support acts look good.
Yeah.
Someone who apparently didn't really know what was going on or maybe was just unfamiliar was like noted the Spirit of 88 on the flyer, which for most people who know about youth of today or the youth crew understand that's a reference to 1988, which is kind of like this weird peak period of the youth crew.
Right.
And really it's just a reference because Youth of Today made shirts that said Youth Crew 88.
Right.
And that's when they did the Youth Crew Across America tour.
Yeah.
Because if you ask the New York dudes, they all say 87. Summer 87 was the real shit. But this person misunderstood it and looked at it and said, oh, Spirit of 88, 88, HH, Hail Hitler,
Nazi, yeah.
Nazism, blah, 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 blah.
And I think Mark McCoy made that flyer too, which is funny.
He did.
Yes.
It's like, come on.
Here's a question. Question to you fellas.
Yes.
What kind of person knows neo-Nazi lore but not youth crew shit? Like, what kind of person is like so knowledgeable? Because my mom doesn't know what the fuck 88 means in terms of Nazism. You know what I'm saying? Well,
but in the last couple of years, I mean, I think people are so kind of hyper-vigilant about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in 2021, Nazism is way bigger than youth crew.
That's a fact.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's a sad state of affairs right there.
It's true.
Listen.
Even in the hardcore world, you got to acknowledge, like, there's – I look at this and think it's a case of sensationalism in that, yeah, this is probably some young, ignorant person who didn't know. And I don't say ignorant in that way. I mean young and unknowing, I should say, who didn't know.
Yeah.
Made a false equivalency. Yo, all our asses hate a false equivalency. Hate it. You know, Google, find out the info, blah, 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 blah. But then the act of sensationalism after, yo, I wasn't privy to it right away, but of course then I heard about it, and it was like, whoa. Talk about making
a mountain out of
a molehill, yeah. Right?
I mean, I think the people responding to them were far larger than the people complaining.
Yeah. No doubt.
I mean, the guy was in Fort Knox. No one's going to think he's racist.
He's an appreciator of African American art forms. It's true.
Make a train. Did you see the lineup for that? So Craig Ahead's playing bass.
Okay.
Instead of Walter.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I guess Walter's pretty busy.
Do they fall during the time of the Quicksand tour?
I think so because they're doing Punk Rock Bowling.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I assume Walter just didn't turn it down. I assume Walter's doing
Quicksand, I would imagine.
Yeah, he's doing the Quicksand tour. So shout out to the Quicksand record, which will be excited. Out by the time you hear this episode. So
make sure you're checking
that out. Make sure if shows are happening, you're going to all those shows. So, you know, do the damn thing. I guess this is a quick hit. Are you guys ready to wear masks at shows?
I mean, I went to a show Monday and I wore a mask the whole time.
Okay.
And it was outdoors. I was like double soft.
Okay.
Yeah.
Patrick? Yeah. Tom?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. If that's, you know what I mean? If it keeps me safe and other people safe, like, we know Patrick's answer. So, I mean,
yeah.
We can skip his answer so I don't fucking hop on a fucking cross country train.
But I mean, if you're playing, like, none of the bands playing wore masks and Patrick wouldn't be at a show he wasn't playing. So
fair,
I think
that's a fair point. Right. And he's not gonna watch any of the bands before his or after his. So I mean it's like a 30-minute window of possibly getting or spreading the disease.
Patrick, you're all good right there.
I mean, I could get into how it's just everybody has access to vaccination and this whole thing is nonsense at this point. The mask is, I fully understand, though don't agree with, but I understand the rationale behind a venue asking for proof of vaccination. Tom and I can fight like cats and dogs on what the implications of it are, the precedent that exists and where it might end up in state courts. But I understand I do not understand masks.
It's private business.
I don't think there's any merit in a space where we all have access to vaccines. It's nonsense. That said, it keeps people from talking to me, so I'll wear it.
Yeah, I mean, it gets you out of a fair amount of conversations because people don't recognize who you are, which is
right.
A perk.
And your weirdness also keeps you from talking to people. So it's
that's a fact.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a double whammy. So like, no one will ever talk to you because it's like, that dude doesn't actually respond to my questions as I ask him. But I mean, I think, you know, in terms of, I mean, I don't, so the vaccination thing, whatever, but like, I think masks just, you know, if you want to wear one inside because, you know, you may be vaccinated, but you don't want to, you know, carry it out with you and give it to someone else, or, you know, you can still get sick after you're vaccinated. I mean, I get the point. So, like, one is to kind of keep you from getting, like, keep you from dying. And the other one's, like, keeping you from getting, like, a really, really, really shitty cold. Okay. Have you seen people? I think masks are going to be a thing for the rest of our lives.
Oh, yeah. I spoke to plenty of people on my trip that said I'm planning to mask for the rest of my life.
Really?
Yeah. More than two.
Have you noticed anything crazy out there, Bob, in terms of like some places are acting like nothing ever happened?
Well, I saw a lot of gas stations and truck stops. And
sure.
There's a great mix. It was unpredictably. You would stop at one and there was a 70-30 split where 70% of the people were wearing masks. And then you stop at others where, you know, pretty much no one was.
Yeah.
And the thing I've commented is it's interesting because, you know, I've had the assumption like, oh, you know, is somebody wearing a mask now because they're not vaccinated? It's like, no, that's probably not right.
It's not
them signaling, no, I'm not getting vaccinated. But it's nothing wild. I haven't seen it, but I will say driving through the Southwest, driving to Texas, seeing some local news, this is going to all get pretty serious when it comes down to kids. And that's the thing that they've been talking about. And that's more of an interesting concern about variants. And, you know, largely right now, we're still looking at similar impact. You know, you're still seeing a kid get hospitalized, not hundreds. But if those numbers start to creep up, and as we're here approaching school year, that's where things are going to get gnarly. So, my heart is out there to all the educators who are dealing with stuff still. My heart is out there to all the people with kids and more, most importantly to kids. You gotta, you know, keep them safe. But that's where I think we'll start seeing rubber meet the road is if there's a variant that comes along that starts killing kids.
I mean, yeah. With the show I just went to, on the flyer it said, please wear a mask. So I did. The day before I went to a wedding, I did not. So it really just depends on me keeping up with the wishes of the event I'm going to. In the same way that you see shows where they're like, no bottles here at this venue. You know, I think you can expect to not bring a bottle there. So because of the show I went to said, wear a mask, I wore a mask. And I didn't feel like getting in like a shouting match
right.
with the promoter.
Right.
You know, I mean, otherwise – I've been to other shows this year that I didn't, but I think I'm just taking the venue's cue of what they prefer, and that's what I did.
So everybody out there, feels right, go and do it. What else? Let's get back to the mosh. Anybody, hitting people in the face with beer while mosh.
Beer.
Good move.
It was a two-shot. It was pretty wild. I sent Pat, I don't know if anybody listened to it, the academics. Pat, did you listen to that at all?
No. What's the story on that?
So he's doing his own. So academics is the dude that did the show with Joe Budden. He's an rap/hip-hop influencer, but like he's known for being like soft as baby shit.
Yep.
Like it's become like it's like a joke that he's like.
He's in on it. Like he is.
Yeah, he's finally bought into like he's not like he doesn't puff his chest out. He's like, no, I'm a civilian
at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is, I mean, it's a hard listen, but it's 3 hours. Did you listen at all, Pat?
Tom, the way, so check it out. We've got four people talking into microphones right now, and yes, we're doing a baseline decent job of not being a nightmare to listen to, in my view, right? These three men, only two of whom are really talking for the majority of that podcast,
yeah,
cannot get it together to let each other finish a sentence. And their mic discipline is some of the worst I've ever encountered. And it is fucking torture. So no, so, I could not get very, I had to listen to the highlights.
You should watch, YouTube has them like broken up, and you can also watch the video on like, so it's pretty much, so they're, it's a pilot. It's the first one they did. So it's Academics has on Tekashi 6ix9ine and this dude Whack 100. Now this dude Whack 100 is an older gentleman, but he's like an OG gang. I don't remember which one he was. Blood, I think.
Pretty
like
sure.
He manages like the game, like he's a fucking like legit like OG, like, but like, you know, and it's pretty much 3 hours of him just being like, you're not a gang member, you're a civilian, stop talking, like, and just him like berating Tekashi 6ix9ine and Tekashi 6ix9ine, like pretty much outing himself for crimes to try to show his bona fides. And I think if anyone wants to do this, maybe Jay Reason, I think you guys should do this and have like a hardcore's version of Whack 100 have on another person who thinks they're tough and just have them like berate them for 3 hours. Cause I'd listen. Wow.
So Tom, what's interesting about that though, is Whack is getting all the blowback. So Tekashi, who, when you listen to it, he beclowned himself and Whack shit on him. Whack now has active beefs for being on it, and the young people took Tekashi's side. So it really gives you an idea of just how everybody hears what they want to hear in a thing, you know.
Sure.
Like we saw this earlier in the week with Bill Maher had I think the guy's name's Malcolm, he's from the New York Times, and Ben Shapiro, and you could see, if you just were on a timeline with a varied follows, you could see people saying, Ben Shapiro destroyed this fucking cuck from the New York Times. And then next tweet would be somebody being like, this cuck from the New York Times destroyed Ben Shapiro. Yeah. And I watched it with Eric. Neither man destroyed anybody. Yeah. It was just two pundits on a fucking panel. And it was so interesting watching people just kind of, you know, it's what you take from it is just what it ends up being in the narrative for you. But the Whack 100 Tekashi thing just broke down in this age specific, experience specific sort of way that was fascinating.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a crazy thing to listen to, but it's very tough. That's just how it got kind of disrespectful, and like I was assuming it would go worse. Just because there were things like, you know, Tekashi would be like, you know, I've known about you my whole life. And he was like, your whole life, you're 24 and you worked at a deli till you were 16. Like super like fucking like, it was like, it's an awkward listen. If you like cringe worthy watching, that's to watch. Same thing with if we talk, you know, we were early in on doing the versus thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody watched the Lox versus, Dipset versus
feels like that was everywhere.
It was insane, and I legit thought it was going to be like
what would Tekashi gain by doing this? Like, why would you go on a show like that just to get berated? And also, why would you go on a show that's 3 hours long?
So Dave, check it out. You are taking Tom's narrative, and because you respect Tom, so you just assume that that's the truth, but. If you talk to like a 19-year-old, Tekashi clowned Whack 100, and why would Whack 100 go on it? I listened to a pundit today, like just like one of the kind of like bigger YouTuber rap pundits that were like, damn, Whack 100 took the L here. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, so like, you know, like whatever it is, like 200,000 subscribers are going, really? Whack 100 took the L? And then, you know, as Tom pointed out, a number of people, definitely anybody over 30 is going, why is Tekashi allowing himself to look like a fool? So again, it's like, there's a real generational breakdown. There's a real experience breakdown.
And also, I mean, the guy hasn't put any music out in like 8-9 months.
Yeah.
So I think this is like a way of like, I'm going to get my name back out there for better or for worse.
Okay. And yeah, for him, all press is good press.
Yo, final thing on quick hits before we get to our audit, unless you guys got anything else.
I got two quick hits.
Oh, all right. Well, you guys start. I have news that's just hit the ticker that I got to hit. So, Tom and Pat, you guys hit me with the quick hits.
Quick hits.
Okay. This one is really quick. I don't want any explanation. We can follow up at a different time. I put a thing out on Instagram. I said, give me a topic and I'll find my most controversial take on it.
Oh, yes.
And Dr. Connor, the straight educator, he gave the hot take. So it was, maybe he didn't understand the thrust of the question here, but he said, hardcore is better, post 2010.
Than any time before it, right?
Than pre 2010.
Yes. Give me no explanation. Give me your yes or no.
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 Okay, I went with no too, but I was curious. I wasn't mad at that
pose, and I think this is a full tease that we will revisit this in a very real way with extended answers. How about that?
Sure.
Okay. I'm with that.
Yo, can I say that I put in a submission to the give a hot take, and you didn't give a hot take on it, Patrick.
I apologize. What was it?
Do you know what it was?
No, I'll try to generate one right now.
All right, right now. Salsa.
Okay. I don't.
Because you have hot takes on this.
Well, I think doing anything like fancy dance? With salsa is misguided. I think that your best bet is a fresh chunky.
Like pico de gallo, right? Yeah.
I think that if you purchase or even accept at a barbecue that you didn't pay for and everything's being you're a guest. If you accept Tostitos salsa, you're weak. You're not a cool person. I think that you need a serious change to your life, and I don't respect you.
Are you just of the mindset of the fresh from the grocery store section, like the clear plastic, no label,
yes,
pico de gallo, and that's all?
No, so that's my preference, but some of those, because they are just essentially refrigerated tomatoes,
yes,
which sucks. That sucks, yes. Everybody. Don't refrigerate your tomatoes unless you are seasoning with a million other things to compensate for the fact that your tomatoes will lose all of their enzyme tastes the second you refrigerate them. I will sometimes go with a prepackaged that is got more, like, it just looks like it's going to be more flavorful than a refrigerated ass clear package that I don't like. If you get a Vons clear package, no.
You're not accepting that at the barbecue at the as a guest
barbecue.
Either.
That's not a thing.
Well, not at Kinley.
No, that's just
guest,
refrigerated tomatoes.
Your barbecue. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Just see, this is the spice takes that we need from Patrick Kinlan on salsa. Not so much like whatever the hell you
like hardcore age quarrel, whatever.
All right. And you had another hit, PK.
Yeah. Well, this one might be involved, so we can skip it if we got to. But no disrespect to friend of the podcast, Ian, who is a regional justice center military gun, plays in self-defense, SWAT,
probably. Oh, Ian from SWAT. Yeah. Ian from SWAT. Yeah.
So Ian from SWAT, who is, unless we fire him this afternoon, is the director of the music video, that Drug Church is doing, I think this weekend. My scheduling is not strong.
Mm-hmm.
No shit.
I think so right now I'm at the center of a lot of anger because I'm the difficult one.
Regarding
music videos.
Just that? Is that where we're ending it? Well, those are just the parameters? That's the only equivocation you're giving us? You're just tough on music videos?
It's a start. So
okay.
I hate music videos. I think that they diminish a band, not add any sort of mystique or even enlighten. I don't think they serve a purpose. I don't respect them. I hate them. No disrespect to Ian, who's done a lot of these. But the
fuck your job.
Fuck your job. I say that to photographers all the time. Oh, hey, I got no respect for your
art. I mean, so does he, if we're being fair.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the point is that the label in who our listeners, shout out to Pure Noise, they're honest. They'll just hit me and they said, listen, it can be any goddamn thing you want. It's just
not your face. Sorry.
Yes, it's just people like European distributors want to know people that we're trying to hook you up with to make you a bigger band. Want to see the band. They want to see the band perform. That's what it is. Right. They just want to see your fucking face.
They want to see the bouncers.
Yes.
Right.
So, because to me, I'm always like, yo, bands with videos with the bands in them are terrible and embarrass me and I hate them and I don't want to do them. And then I refuse to be in them. And then the label gets mad because I make their job harder. Right.
When you let Eric sing for you.
Well, that was the original gag that I tried to pitch was like, yo, why don't we just have everybody that's not me? Like, we'll just grab a couple of our unhoused neighbors. We'll grab, you know, the lady that does the, she sews up my clothes. Like, let's get that lady. Let's get everybody that's not me. We'll get the guy that works at the Baja Fresh, whatever it is. And they're not buying that. They want my face. I'm very handsome. It's a curse. And we're now at the point in the conversation where I feel lied to because the venue had to. So I said, okay, no warehouse. I don't give a fuck. And, and if I've got to be in it, no warehouse. And today they hit me and they said, oh, it might have to be a warehouse. So I'm pulling out of the fucking thing and everybody's mad as shit at me. Cause it's like, I mean, I'm going to cost people about $10,000, but the point is I don't give a fuck because I feel lied to. So I will never be in a warehouse. You're never going to catch me in a warehouse. So
you tell Ian not to. He's not allowed to look the talent directly in the eye when you had this conversation.
Why don't you film your part somewhere you're comfortable with, like what, just like walking down the street, like your selfie videos.
Yeah, like you take a walk. No respect.
That's what you should do.
Yeah, you have no respect for this art form. You can just be like, oh, I filmed myself. My part's done. Here you go. It was done on my iPhone. The selfie flip.
Ian,
that's actually a good idea.
On an iPhone stuff. So this could be a thing.
But Pat's known for his hey, I'm walking down the fucking, you know, Rodeo pontificating on some bullshit. Maybe that's your part.
Yeah, I mean, because Patrick really is like today's Anthony Kiedis. And like that's kind of the footage we all love from the Under the Bridge video.
That's true. That's literally what we're going for. Patrick, I think on this whole thing, it sounds like you're the real Britney Spears. Like free Patty. That's what we need to do.
Yeah, I'm the victim.
We can talk about this offline, but Bob showed me a pretty good video earlier today that I think is due for a reboot that could work with Drug Church.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Mm.
Ooh.
I don't know if you got a good like claymation.
Man. Oh, it's the okay. Let's see. This I introduced to two friends because the question was shout out to the Cover Lovers podcast. I believe he asks people like, hey, what's the first song you ever heard? Yeah. Which I think is a very difficult question, right?
Yes.
Yes. Mine is, what is it? Can't Van Dant?
It's a John Fogerty solo song.
Yeah, yeah.
That I've never heard before. And then Bob showed me the video today. It's insane.
Yeah.
So I think, I mean, I'm a music nerd. I've never heard of it. So I think the average Drug Church fan is probably not on this John Fogerty tip.
Yeah, it's the Vans Can't Dance John Fogerty song from 1985. Vance can't dance, but he'll steal your money. Watch him or he'll rob you blind. My suggestion, everyone needs to Google this now and watch it. It's the first song I remember, and I like it a lot. And the music video, I believe, burned my brain, and this is the reason I'm messed up. So thanks, Dad. Okay, do we have any other quick hits, or are we ready for our – let's make this an annual audit.
I mean, I think Bob's hyping me up too much because he asked me this on Monday, and I really Monday afternoon when I'm at work, so I didn't come up with. I came up with six things.
Okay, I think that's a good start. And I'll live hit the Instagram and see if we can get a few extras. So,
right. And then the only last quick hit, Turnstile announced the support bands for New York.
Ooh,
did you see that? So the Elsewhere show is a Kulu.
Sick.
Nice.
Which is dope. And then the Irving Plaza show, which is fucking awesome, is Glitterer and Rule Them All.
Nice.
Wow. It's cool. Yeah. those dudes are doing, and they put out a new single, and it's good.
Yeah, Turnstile's good.
They're a good
song
band
that we talked about a few weeks ago that was at like 1.4 million is probably at 2 million by the time you hear this. That's really wild.
I credit Extra Grind for that.
Yeah.
You guys are welcome. You know, Roadrun Records, you're welcome.
Yeah, just send us some free swag. Thanks, guys.
Hockey jersey of some sort.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Are we ready for the audit?
Yeah. These are just random questions. So question one, having an extra grind hasn't come up in a while. Anything you'd like to get off your chest?
Let's see.
Have we had, I think our axes to grind have diminished more so in our old age.
I almost aired out a real piece of shit the other day, but I've decided that I'm no snitch until the fucking grave. You're going to get me on the, I'm the whack 100 of this shit. Like I always say, if anybody's got a personal problem with me and wants to like come hard with some threats or some DMs or even like say you're going to kill my parents, I'm never going to say shit on you. You can fucking try all that, because I realize the person that I got the most beefs with in life, I like, they had a moment where they were like winning the other day, and I was like, I want to kick this motherfucker's legs out from them, the piece of shit motherfucker. And then I said,
you looking in the mirror?
And then I said, that's for losers. It don't matter how bad this person is. It's not, if I snitch, I'm no better. And then I just kept doing
it. I hate that you do this, because I don't know who you're talking about. And then someone's going to ask me like 3 weeks from now, and they're like, who's Pat talking about? I'm going to be like, what do you mean?
I got
put it in the chat.
I got no real beefs out there anymore that I'm aware of, but I've got one person that I can't wish well. And
is it Tekashi?
It's not Tekashi, but I can't wish this person well. They had a moment the other day where they were doing something good, positive for their life. And I had a moment where I said, you don't deserve to win, you piece of shit. And then I swallowed that energy and said, it's got nothing to do with me. So I got no axe to grinds. I'm good.
You just grounded an axe against Ian and the video, you know, Hype Williams and every video maker of the last 30 years.
Listen, just a strong opinion that I got that music videos are fucking stupid. But Ian,
do you
is
have a music video you like?
And you know what? I went looking. I was like, okay, so Rival Schools video.
Used for Globe.
Yeah. So I was like, because they were talking about filming the Drug Church one in a house and like kind of having a party going or something. I was like, okay, all right. I think the Rival Schools one was like that. I went and checked out that video. I cringed until my dick fell off and rolled down the street. Music videos are the cringiest things that exist.
I mean, they had their time and place. I haven't seen any modern music videos other than like at the gym on the TVs in the background. But I mean, we all know that Most Precious Blood has a music video. No one's seen it.
Oh, that's right.
It's true. That's my axe to grind. Where's my fucking video, Pierre and Pat?
I think it's in. Yeah, it's not in Paris, but it's in, you know, Marseille. It's in one of the smaller, maybe the south of France.
It's in the dome of the Dime Bank building in South Williamsburg, where Pat showed it to us.
He thinks I tell her I'm going to Paris. I'll meet her there with the Most Precious Blood video. She arrives at the station. I'm not there. Of course not. I'm not an idiot. I was in Berlin the whole time with the video.
I mean, the Trustkill website's coming back, and we still don't have this video. I'm really fucking
heated. That is fucked up.
Trustkill.com is literally coming back. The label's not, but I think it's going to be like a history website or something.
Interesting.
Yeah. So try to track down that video.
Hmm.
It exists somewhere.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it's probably in Pat's attaché somewhere, but, you know.
Do you think we can blame Rudy Gobert for the missing video?
Yeah, he probably touched it.
Yeah,
like March of 2020.
All right, access to grind. Let's see, anything to grind. No, I think, you know what? I'll give an axe to grind. I really believe there's a lot of hypocrites out there who spend a lot of time online coming at people for crimes they didn't commit or for things that they think they maybe heard that they did a long time ago and maybe they should suffer more. It's something we've revisited a few times here. And I'm not here to say that people who do bad things shouldn't be held accountable. All for it. Keep people accountable. But I think we are nearing the end of this cycle where everyone is getting burned on hearing like hearsay and allegations when in reality, like the people casting the first stone usually have just as much bullshit as the person they're throwing at. So I'm still really tired of all that. And I think it's like an exercise in futility that continues to do no one no good.
Yeah, I would say the accountability era has been a bit of a failure. I don't know if anything has materially changed for all of the, hey, remember that slur you used on your live journal in 2003? I don't think that changed the world. And I don't think that it significantly shifted the balance of power in the United States or rightened any wrong. So I'm
you don't think
to
that,
agree with
that, that changed the discourse at all?
No, I think it changed the discourse, but for the most toxic and intolerable direction. Like, yes,
well, like you think it's made people kind of think twice about the next time they say they're going to do something stupid?
Yeah, but
it may not have disempowered people.
Yeah.
But someone who likes to throw around a fucking F-bomb or whatever,
well,
you know,
will think twice
that.
Before doing that.
Tom, I wonder about that because I think you're right. I think so, yes, in the public space, that's been curtailed.
Yeah, this is where I was going to go.
And I'm not sure if it's just closing up the caves a little tighter. You know what I mean? Which is good, right? Like, it's good. Like, hey, it's good and bad, right? Like, hey, I don't want people to be casually tossing around an F-bomb online or in casual conversation. I don't think it's right. But I'm curious if people are still firing darts when it's closed doors and they feel comfortable.
I mean, I got to be honest. In my experience in the last 10 years, before that, people used it like the word the.
They did. That's a fact.
Now, if someone says it, you go, whoa, what the fuck?
Oh, like, yeah, yeah.
It's so jarring.
So Tom's absolutely right. Like, for our listeners that are like 19, there was a time, like if you try to jam up, say, a 40-year-old dude on using that word, we're talking about the slur towards gays, everybody, if you didn't pick up what the fuck we're saying. If you're trying to jam up a 40-year-old on that, it's not going to be hard. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to be hard.
Yeah,
it was part of the dialogue for, I would say, what would you say? Every school age child for 10 years would throw that word around very loosely.
If you were in high school between 1980 and 2008.
Right. And if that, you know. That's change. And that's,
I mean, it just went off the rotation of Matt Damon last week.
Yes, that's true.
Poor Matt, you can't say nothing right.
Well, his daughter wrote him an essay.
Right, and he's like, I use different words now. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Why? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's a little.
Some people are just out of touch.
In the room, right, Maddie?
No, come on. No.
I like you, Maddie.
Let's be realistic. An Irish guy from Boston probably doesn't use the nicest words.
No, no, no. And listen.
But you don't need to say that. We know this. It's understood.
Can we also all agree that we are desperately underusing the Cuomo, I'm not a pervert, I'm just Italian for meme purposes? Like, please, everyone, we would like more of those.
Yeah,
I mean, fine. if that's not on a pair of fucking short shorts and lavalette by like this weekend, I'd be shocked.
If it's not already, I'm shocked. And it's just one like, I'm not a pervert. I'm just Italian. Jesus, Tom, you just made the $1 billion.
That is the shirt of the summer, 100%.
I thought that was a joke, and I'm like, and they're like, no, that was really like, that's the thing. I was like, holy shit.
Where are you at, Chris Cuomo? You're up next. We got to hear from you.
It's true.
Okay.
Right.
Dave, audits. Continue.
Okay, sorry. Questions. Let's see what my next one. Okay, here's a question. How professional should a demo be? Has improved recording technology turned us all into audiophiles? Mm. I asked that really of myself, so I figured I'd ask y'all because I've heard some demos that are all like nicer than vinyl records I've put out.
Mm, yes.
And then when I get a demo that sounds like a demo, I'm like, well, I can't listen to this. It's too rough. So okay, are we all babies now?
Yes.
Hold on, Dave. Hold on. I'm trying to give me a baseline that I would understand. When you say a demo that sounds like a demo, now you go much more basement than I do on your regular listening. So you can't give me something hyper obscure. Just give me a baseline, because when you say something that sounds like a demo, I don't know if you mean something that sounds like a boombox recording. You know,
I can't close my eyes.
I mean, can't close my eyes is a demo-y recording. That's fine. I mean, the famous New York demos, like there's definitely demos that sound like they were recorded at a fancy studio, because they were. And there's certain demos that are just like live on NYU sets. Like, I think a demo should sound like a good live tape.
Yeah.
And that's really what you want out of it.
So like think. Patrick, something that sort of, if you're playing it on a boom box, you're definitely going to get a lot of, you know.
No, I don't. That's unacceptable in 2021. That is unacceptable.
Do you think, Pat, like the reason why it's unacceptable is because like it's so cheap and accessible to make it somewhat listenable that if you do that, you're doing it to be cute.
Yes, if you can't get together $300, then I don't know how you got gear to play music.
I mean, I recorded two things recently, and I definitely didn't spend $300. You don't need $300. I mean, you'd actually spend more money trying to track down a 4-track.
Yes, you would. But here's my argument here. I think you just did everybody a disservice by acting like $300 is what it was in 1997. I remember when $300 felt insurmountable for five fucking people. I don't think it's just a symbol that I am old now that $300 doesn't feel insurmountable. If you are in a band of five human beings and you cannot each chip in 100 US dollars, then you are a crustier crust head than I am.
Buying avocado toast and buy yourself a good demo.
Straight up, like, yo, if you can't get $100 together, then you need to start stealing better. That's all that is. I'm not going to tell you that you got to go get a straight job. You know what I mean? Maybe you're the punkinest punk, but you got to get that hundo, because a good recording, you can get a good recording for $100 or for $500 for hardcore music that does not have significant metal elements. $500. Why can't you do this?
No, I agree. And I mean, I'm asking this question with a target on my own back, saying like, I now, when I get a rough demo, usually won't go back to it.
Yeah, I think there's the floor for recordings has raised over the years. And like, it's so easy. Like someone's got a friend that has Pro Tools or a pirated version of Pro Tools or something that you can make something real. I mean, it doesn't have to sound like you went to fucking, you know, Electric Lady Studio, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
But like you, it's something that you can make, like you can discern all the different instruments.
It's a fascinating question because it's evolved, right? Like, and we're now at the point where honestly, some of the sounds of these rough demos of the late 80s, even some of the 90s stuff, is a desired effect. You know, there's certain drum sounds. I'm like, yo, who wants this? What, really? But it's like, oh, it sounds like this, like, you know.
They're going for whatever.
For whatever, this grind sound or this drop beat, like beat down sound. Like that's what we want. It sounds like this 25 record. Cool, right? I'm like, no. Now that's attainable just through like this thing that was done out of necessity sound wise is now attainable because you're like, hey, we think that sounds cool. So yeah, I think we've the quality has been raised. The threshold has been raised for just general listening. And then you throw on top of that the idea that if you want a specific sound, that's something you shoot for as opposed to fall into. So it just changes the paradigm. It just changes the way people look at that stuff. All right, next up.
See what I got. Other than Walter, favorite person who's had a lot of excellent projects? Because Walter's like the softball – He's done a lot of stuff.
Super softball. So let's throw out some softballs. Ian, right?
Right. Pretty Tom easy. Capone.
Yeah, I mean, he's been at SWAT.
Yeah. Ian MacKay, I was speaking of, the guy from, you know, a Teen Idols guy, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Tom Capone.
Tom Capone's a really good one. Tom, what are your feelings on Handsome? Are you a big Handsome guy?
Not as big as everyone else, but it's good.
I think we're in the same place on that.
It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, fifth in that, like, in the hierarchy, I listen to Orange 9mm or like Quicksand far more.
Yeah, yeah. I like it more than I like Orange 9, but it's not that far off.
Gavin.
I was thinking. You know, I think
Justice.
Oh, Justice is so. What do we call for? So Turnstile. No, Trapped Under Ice, Angel Dust. He had some side projects that I've been wanting to talk about. Was it Sinom?
Sinom was with Dijon. It was pretty much him singing for Breakdown and like Crown. It was Dijon, Lumadina, I think, and somebody else.
Well, I'm not familiar with this.
There was two. Yeah, so they put a record out on Reaper, I think.
Yep. That's
so it was Sinom. So it was weird. It was like there was a Madball like all star band with Vogel singing called SOS.
Yep.
And then there was like a Crown of Thorns Dijon era Breakdown band with Dijon, with Justice singing called Sinom. SAI NAM.
Yes.
M is a Mary.
So check that out. That's going to be a little homework project for me because I was curious about that.
Very good. But I mean, I think all those dudes, it's like Brendan, the drummer, you know, like.
Yeah.
He's in Angel Dust, Turnstile, TUI.
D-Fang probably the drummer deserves from Turnstile. A lot of credit. He's done.
Yeah. D-Fang deserves Turnstile. Credit for sure.
Praise, something, Angel Dust. He's done a bunch.
Was he in Mindset?
No.
At any point? I don't remember. Yeah.
Choke, honestly. He doesn't get credit for Negative Effects, Last Rites, Slapshot. And when you think about how long running, and Stars and Stripes.
Yeah, Stars and Stripes, weird space that they occupy where.
Weird.
Listen. It's very catchy. I think that there's some great songs there.
The energy around it is really hard.
It's not easy. But it's not just that. I don't know anybody into that style of music who disrespects it, which I think is maybe to Choke's credit here. You know, it's for people that look.
I think it's far enough under the radar that people don't catch it.
Yeah, that's probably true. I think our listeners should. Do you think most of our listeners have checked that record out? Yes or no? I'm saying 51%.
No.
No. I think I'm curious. I'd say more than 50% have at least checked out Slapshot, but I think then 50% of them have checked out Stars and Stripes.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, what's your Vulture Rock crossover as far as with your reach?
Well, you know, we do, you know, the YDL reissues really kind of soured things. What's the Connecticut band I really liked?
From
the like late 90s, damn. Shout out Rich Peruzzi. I can't remember.
Cornerstone?
No, I love the Cornerstone.
Don't you ever say you were.
Yeah, because you're not. You know it. I think Choke, low rated.
Yeah, I agree.
Because Negative Effects has its fans, and Negative Effects is awesome. Like, great, right? Where do you put that in your top records?
Negative Effects?
Yeah.
If I were being hyperbolic, I would probably say it's in my top 20, but I'm being honest, I could probably put 20 stuff above it. I genuinely like it. I listen to it periodically. It's a good, you know, gym or running record. It's short and fast. You know, no real like skippers. So putting it on a like a playlist like that where you don't want to think about it works well.
Hey, what's up? My name's Lurk, and I'm the host of Lambgoat's Van Flip Podcast. Every week, I have in-depth conversations with bands from all over the scene, big and small. We also like to keep our finger on the pulse and showcase up-and-coming bands on the show as well. So come check out Lambgoat's Van Flip Podcast.
Yeah, true. I mean, there's, I mean, Vic Takara.
Oh, Vic.
Vic's
done great stuff.
John Brannon.
Yo, John Brannon didn't get talked about for his other projects. You're right.
And people should actually, they'd fucking love it. Like Laughing Hyenas. Like they would actually really, I don't know if people have ever gone beyond their Negative Approach love, but it's pretty fucking.
Yeah, Laughing Hyenas got tracks. Like I think they're an actually like very good band who are on my like, man, I should really listen to this more. Like it crosses a lot of different genre appreciation, to be honest, you know? Man, this is a good question.
Yeah. What about Cali? Let's give some, like, California, we haven't given enough West Coast love.
Okay. I mean, here's the hard part. So I immediately go, like, okay, what about, like, vocalists and stuff? Dano? I'm not huge on No For An Answer.
Do you like Speak?
I don't dislike Speak, but I tried when I was young and never got fully into it. I think 411 has some really good songs.
That might be his best
totally
band.
Put it together, but some really sure. good songs. The This Isn't Me LP is pretty good. You know, like Variation. The answer for this one, like Cali, it might be some random like.
I mean, Rob Moran.
It could be Rob. It could be like the Hayworth dude who was in Inside Out and Hard Stance, and like you'd be like, oh shit, you were in like all these bands. Damn, you know. Hartfield actually did a lot of different bands, you know. Mark Hayworth, let's see what he did.
Have we already said Ian Hard was just like an all-time?
Ian McKay.
Yeah, like he's as softball as Walter. I think when you go through and go, okay, Teen Idols, Minor Threat, Embrace, Fugazi.
Don't forget Palehead. Don't forget
yeah. Egg Hunt,
Skewbald,
Egg
Hunt.
If you haven't listened to the Kariki LP, I think it's really good. Yo,
it is
one of my favorite records from a couple years ago. I think it just like catches an energy from that dude that you're like, yo, you're still ferocious.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it's a different kind of biting, but it still has that. And when I say ferocious, I mean that like. Ferociousness of sincerity and like the stuff he's singing about clearly still resonates and means something to him. Like, I think that's one of the beauties of all this crazy shit is that whatever he was singing about when he was 18 really, really got him wound up. For him to sing about that now probably doesn't wind him the same way. But what he realizes and what a lot of people get as they kind of move through, I think the Quicksand LP will probably show that for Walter. Is like, I am going to keep that energy and go in on the things that really wind me up now, which are different than what wound me up at 18. And I think that's like the beauty of all this nonsense.
Sure.
And the trick to a long running career of doing cool artistic endeavors.
Okay. Here's a question. Brian Baker, who shares a birthday with me, since he has confirmed more missteps than steps. Do we count
is that
him?
Confirmed?
That
are you putting so Minor Threat, Dag Nasty, Bad Religion,
Junkyard.
Junkyard's a misstep.
Doggy
okay.
Style, Junkyard.
Doggy style the Junkyard is new band.
Is Beach Rats a misstep or is it just
it's a half
it's not a misstep. It's not it's
the fake names band is fine.
Okay.
With Dennis from Refused and like two dudes from like Ignition, I think.
Okay.
I mean, one of my roles here is to really bring out Across Your Element, and I would like to just reference Todd Burdett.
That's who. Yeah. So I was going to ask who like the main dude from His Hero Is Gone that went on to the most
cop
stuff.
Out. His Hero Is Gone, Tragedy, Death Threat, played drums in a band called Funeral,
yep.
Sang in War Cry.
just
Jesus.
Yeah, he was underrated.
Currently plays guitar. I think some vocals in a band called Nightfell. Yep. They have a new record coming out soon that I never remember that band existing.
He was in Severed Head of State for a while. He was in Call the Police, who were okay.
Who was in the band Man with Gun Lives Here? Because that's the hardest name ever. One of those dudes. Great. It's some Memphis band. I forget who it was.
Are you guys aware that Junkyard had a record in 2019?
I only had the first one. It had Simple Man and Hollywood.
You're referring to self-titled?
Yeah, I had that one.
No. We've got seven records since then.
I mean, he's not involved in any of them.
Apparently,
there's no way Baker's on those.
I think that's what I'm reading right now. I'm going to double check on the Discogs, but let's see.
All right, low key reference one. Alex Barreto, Al Payne, was in Against the Wall, Chain of Strength, Hard Stance, Inside Out, Statue.
What about Chris? Chris Barron, too.
We should pull that up. Was in Alien Ant Farm. Apparently, spent some time in Excel.
Ooh.
Currently doing World Be Free, so there you go. You're talking about Chris Bratton, who definitely deserves a nod.
But the drummer from Chain, and
he was in Justice League, yeah, and Inside Out, yeah. But I think he might have been in other stuff too that doesn't get noted. Todd Burdett's a really good one.
I was actually listening to the Nightfell record, and that's when I penned that question.
That's good. How is that record?
It's fine.
Okay.
Is it Bolt Thrower? There was like a band that I'm like, they're definitely just going for this. But I mean, I don't listen to Bolt Thrower all the time, but if you want a current Bolt Thrower, there you go.
Interesting. Okay. Dave also mentioned the other Todd Jones.
Yeah.
He gets referenced a lot, I think.
Yeah.
But an interesting, like you look through his career, it's Carry On, it's Betrayed, it's Terror, like the start Nails. Of Terror.
Yeah.
Then you go into Nails, and he's got lots of little projects in between Snake Eyes. He did some time in Internal Affairs. He's worked with lots of other bands. Some bands he's written for, some bands he's just kind of been a part of their process. So like, he deserves all the mention that he gets. And you know, as somebody who's worked with him, like the dude takes his craft super seriously, and it's and like also is thoughtful about it in a way that he doesn't get credit for. So shout out to TJ.
Okay, shout out for sure. Let's also do the Young Brothers, who are prolific as fuck and try a lot of different shit, right? Who from Boston am I forgetting from the mid 2000s era?
There's
DFJ, they play. I mean, he plays all instruments, but yeah. If you're a solid,
sang drummer, a few, you know, yeah,
you're you got Naraj. In a lot of bands just by default.
Yeah, so DFJ, probably
yeah, so DFJ and Naraj, yep. Both a lot of credit.
Handsome Jim.
Oh yeah, sure. Yep.
Nate Newton.
Yep. Aram.
Aram for sure.
Before we get off topic, how come you guys have never talked to me about the Buck Cherry album that features Brian Baker on guitar?
Well, that's why the guy from Buck Cherry wants to sing Mind Threat, dude.
Yeah, I think that's one of the ones that's in the can, right? Coming up in a future episode.
Yeah, that's the Buck Cherry deep dive that we did.
Yeah, listening party.
Yeah.
Okay. Because
I was wondering why you hadn't brought up the God.
The 2014 Buck Cherry record entitled Fuck, such songs as Somebody Fucked With Me, Say Fuck It, The Motherfucker, I Don't Give a Fuck, It's a Fucking Disaster, and closing track, Fist Fuck. Guitars by Brian Baker.
So it's like a themed record. They stuck
it's a concept album.
It's a concept album that they stuck to. All right.
What the fuck, Brian? That was the voicemail that was left by I Mackay from.
I mean, they probably he was probably like, I have some of these like fucking like cock rock riffs that Greg Graffin won't let me use.
Yep.
I'm just going to give them to this guy.
Yo, you were on that one Junkyard record? Bro, I love that fucking record.
No. Bob, Not one junkyard record. I just confirmed he's played on every junkyard record.
Yeah, he's a founder.
Really? Because I feel like that was like his like scarlet letter that disappeared when he came back to punk.
He doesn't seem too ashamed of it. He keeps some of these are definitely reissues. They got to be, but not all of them.
But I think, you know, as, you know, Axe to Grind, if you guys weren't aware of these junkyard records, I think they're really just trees falling to the woods here because they're not really hitting the target demo. Yeah, I mean, I was all in on Cock Rock in 89 or whenever that record came out, and I was not blown away by it.
Well, that's because you probably haven't given enough listen to Shut Up, We're Trying to Practice, the record from 2000, which looks pretty lit. I can't confirm it, but it's Brian Baker definitely played on it.
Junkyard.
I'll throw that on my to listen to list after that. Dijon Justice Band.
Sign on.
Yeah.
It is a good question. Shout out to everybody who has a prolific life in music. It's fun and neat.
What about right, Pat? Dave, what do you Pat got? Kenlin.
I think we're winding down here, so why don't you give us one or two more?
Vaping was considered ultra lame when it came out, but now it's super common. What's a super lame thing that's going to be totally absorbed as normal?
Oh, great question.
Can I be Pat for a second? Masks.
That's true.
N95s.
What is super lame? I mean, you know, we've talked about this. Metalcore kind of reaching super saturation of this is lame and then crossing over in the same way that Screamo did. Like Radio Screamo was literally Slipknot. The kid from Slipknot died the other day. And I'm seeing I'm seeing how cool Slipknot is. And hey, that's a change, everybody. Like, you can have any opinion you want, but that's a change.
That was a big change.
Yeah, because people like in that age group, and I totally get it. Like, it was Biohazard for someone in my age range.
Yep.
Yep.
It was Slipknot, but like. People that were like, yeah, Slipknot got me into heavy music, then completely swore them off. Like, they didn't exist anymore. And then in the last 3 years, it was like, fuck it, man. They got blast beats.
Well, yo, I want to give a shout out. Here's what it really is. The 20-year-olds are the ones who went unabashed and were like, no, Slipknot fucking rocks, bro. And the 30-ish-year-olds are the ones who
and they came around to it.
They reclaimed. Yeah, they kind of. Yeah,
the 20-year-olds influenced the older people. Yeah, just admit that they like it.
They recontextualized their dismissal of Slipknot when they got into hardcore, and now we're like, oh no, yes, I did love Slipknot. Yes, of course, they are wonderful. They are, and it's like. You freaking poser. You ditched
I mean,
them.
Limp Bizkit was being enjoyed 2 weeks ago,
yep.
Unironically.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yo, Pat, how weird is it for you that Fred Durst was like, hey, man, it's too dangerous out here with this COVID. We're going to cancel this whole tour. Like that he's the voice of reason.
Yeah. I know somebody that worked with Fred Durst for a while. It said that he is a very cool, very reasonable guy. However, he also has some anxieties about the popularity of his band.
Sure. And
I would be curious to see numbers. Like if those shows were all selling out and he canceled, then I would say, yeah, that's a very responsible guy. If the shows were half sold and he canceled, I would say that's a guy who's doing his best to protect his image.
I mean, they were playing like Irving, like places that were far too small for them.
Right.
And can we have a confirmation? Is that a wig or did he actually grow his hair out?
I mean, he just has the same hair as Patrick.
Yep.
He really does. Same color and everything.
So here's a question for you guys. Music video. It's supposed to be all tight shots. Not that flattering for a band as ugly as mine, but do I keep this weird Lyle Preslar hair that I currently have, the haircut? Or do I cut it into something a little bit more young?
You go shaved head.
I think, PK, for posterity, you should get it tight. Tighten up.
Yeah.
I also – I know you're kind of in on the facial hair thing right now. Is this right? Are you feeling the face? You're feeling your facial hair a little bit?
Well, this ties into me not being very invested in my looks at the moment.
I mean, you look like a beatnik poet.
I was going to say, like, if there was a Disney movie about a catfish, like, that's kind of the vibe your goatee's giving right now, because it's sort of thin on the corners and it's weird. So,
I look like the animal catfish, or I'm
like
catfishing?
A cartoon catfish.
I mean, okay. Patrick's just got like a real 1991 sick of it all look going.
You finally made it.
He was going for Luke Kohler for the last 25 years. He's finally attained it.
Yes. This is what he looked like when I saw him, actually. The first time I saw him is the look that I have right now.
Pat, can you cut your hair into a tail?
So that's the problem, right? So I saw – the first time I saw Sick of It All was post – was like probably 1996 or something.
After he lost the tail.
Yeah, he had lost the tail by then.
I think you're currently cosplaying as significantly older due to your hairstyle. And if you cut it, you will look like the youngest member of Drug Church, and it's not close. And I know how you like to burn those dudes.
Yeah, I think you should let hair and makeup make the call with this music video.
I was going to shave a few days ahead of time so that there wasn't like a tan line on my face.
Oh yeah. Always a smart move.
Smart move. Yeah. You should dress up like the character from I Really Think You Should Leave, the like I have too much shit on, like the fucking
I think you should just have a really weird shirt. What are they? The really
Dan Flash.
Yeah, get a Dan Flash shirt.
Maybe like a $2,000-$3,000 really, you know, involved pattern.
I mean, you could also,
that's my axe to grind. People who make that their fucking personality every time a new season of that comes out, boom, there you go.
Yo, it is very funny. Yeah, you don't have to just be that.
It's funny. It's a funny show.
There's I don't remember if it's No Doubt or just Gwen Stefani solo video that's relatively recent where she revisits a lot of her looks from her career.
Oh, really?
I think Patrick could do that. Like, he could have like a long hair wig and things like that.
The Romulan haircut that we saw him have.
Yeah,
I think that was white belt. That was a deep white fake, belt. Maybe.
The era where
dude, it looks like you.
His video partner in France. Yeah. Yo, I think we do have more auditing. I think I'm going to take this to a Patreon. So shout out to everybody who supports us there. Shout out to everybody. Thank you guys. Do you guys mind if we close this episode with a new track by the band Military Gun?
Oh, no, fuck yeah. Exciting.
I think their lead singer is a talented videographer. So
Hype Williams.
Okay, shout out everybody. Enjoy Military Gun.
Relationships stay and it stays.